Good evening, party people. Welcome to the Pine Room Studio Podcast, episode 147. We have two on my left, Jubber Delbrook, to my right, Jarrett Delbrook, and a guy by the name of Soup Campbell. I guess I'm going to be honest with you, fellas. This is like being de-virginized all over again, like being touched welcome for the back. First time.
Yes, yeah. Welcome back, Jeff. Yes,
thank you very much. Missed you guys.
Yeah, yes. Jeff has been, he's been...
The people have been wondering.
You
been
bring the energy, Jeff. It's crucial.
Exploring vast oceans and wide caverns, and he finally made his way back here to the Pine Room.
Were you the guy in high school or even into early college? Like, when you showed up at a party, were you always bringing the energy?
I think that's probably fair because I was kind of a fucktard back in the day, so I was making sure that the party was going to be whether I was probably bringing the alcohol. It's exactly what I was doing. But, yeah, we definitely we had our fun. But, you know what, I appreciate it. It's really nice to see you guys. Sorry for the sabbatical.
And hey.
I'm not even saying that it's going to improve anytime soon. But, hey, I'm here today.
We understand.
I am here today. But it's funny that you say that, Jub, on my sabbatical in the deep seas that I was looking at, I came across a fish by the name of a black sea devil.
I've seen that.
Dude.
Is that?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's so funny. That's a really good bridge jumper because I was actually, I don't even know what it was the other day. I came across it. And I was thinking to myself, man, oh man, first and foremost, how fucking ugly that goddamn fish was. And if I came nose to nose, I'd probably shit myself.
Yeah, that's why from he's Nemo, down in the dark.
Was that a real thing that he came up from the ocean?
Yeah, that's what it said, yeah.
I don't think they said it was anything from diseases to being chased by a predator to...
What is chasing that?
That's what I'm saying,
there's
too.
No way something eats that. How big are they, John?
I mean, look at that thing.
It's not huge.
Yeah, actually, it's really not that big.
It's like the size of a, I guess.
I just saw something recently about a bird that had something about this name. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, it's like the size of a pickle jar. It's kind of
tiny. Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
I still came nose to nose, man. That thing is ugly.
Job, that's what's from Nemo, right?
Yeah, it's technically it's called an angler fish, and they use the little light above their head to lure it, because they live way, 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 way down at the bottom of the ocean where you can't see anything. So when a little light, or when a fish sees that little light down in the bottom of the ocean, they swim towards the light, and big guy, he gulps.
Why did it come up to the surface?
They said it was anything from disease to being chased by an animal to being, at the end of its lifetime. So it just kind of swam up.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you guys think, though, really, with that being said? Because obviously I've never even heard of that, and obviously it's coming out of the deep blue sea. Like, how much really life that we have no idea about at the bottom of the ocean?
It will never in our lifetime be even close to for them finding all of it.
I can't think so,
it's,
right?
It's funny that you say that, because I was actually looking at, for whatever reason, I don't even know why, I was looking at the Marianas Trench. Is that what it's called? The Mariana?
Yeah, that's the big
deepest part of the ocean today. I have no idea why I looked it up.
Another good bridge, but go ahead.
But I was looking, I was like, I can't imagine the shit that's at the bottom of that we don't even know. Like, at the deepest, darkest corners. Like, how the hell, like,
Jub, is
will
it still
we ever
true?
Find? So would we find any of it?
70%, right?
It's 91%.
91% of the ocean we've never discovered.
Well, no, 91% of ocean species have yet to be classified.
That is wild.
Yeah.
So. I guess what would be your job title if for that? Is that a, what do they call the people, what's the degree up at West Liberty? Don't they have some kind of...
A zoologist?
Yeah, a zoologist,
would
maybe?
Maybe probably not. Would it be more, I always mess up that word, aquatic?
Aquatic?
Aquatic.
Dude.
I don't know what
that's
that,
a good question. I don't know what
aquologist.
You would...
Aquologist? no, it says a taxonomist or a field biologist are the people that designate species.
Dude, can you imagine the type of things we don't know that are down there?
Oh, man.
And imagine how big they are.
I would agree with that, too. Yeah.
A marine biologist or an
oceanographer.
There you go.
Job, what's the biggest thing that we've found so far in the ocean?
Largest thing, probably blue whale, but I would say, yeah, blue whale's the largest. Balaenopter musculus is the
oh wow
blue whale good largest work. Largest creature that exists on our planet, so that's pretty cool.
Well, Jeff, you know that they're saying that now are the videos real or not, I don't know, but there's been multiple accounts,
Bigfoot,
no, of the of extraterrestrials like coming from the water.
Yeah, it's called
really?
Which is which that is crazy when they come, like people are saying they've seen them go up, move in motions that airplanes and drones can't move, and then go right back down.
Yeah, so it's called transmedium. I can't remember the actual term, but it's called transmedium locomotion, where they're moving from air to sea without any change in between, so that you can go 70 miles per hour in the air and then drop down and go 70 miles per hour underneath the ocean.
It's insane.
And they're saying that because there's a famous, not tic-tac-toe, tic-tac incident where this guy's name is Commander David Fravor. He was a commander for the world-famous Black Aces. They're a jet fighter squadron in the Navy. And they actually recorded what they call the tic-tac incident, and I'll play this just for you guys so you can see this. So they were off the coast of, I think, San Diego, and they're flying around, and they see or somebody on above the commanding officer, somebody that was designated what their flight patterns would be, said that they're not doing any training today because they have a real world vector out off the coast of San Diego. And real world vector means there's something out there that they need to designate. And normally what that'd be is like drug runners, because drug runners coming up from Mexico into California and above. So they go out to film or to go out to intersect whatever this thing is. And Commander David Fravor, who was the commanding officer of the fighter squadron, sees what he called a tic-tac, and it was a tic-tac-shaped object about the size of it was like 40 foot long, I think, and it was hovering over the surface of the water over top of this disturbance in the water, which was like the size of a 747, and he said it was just bouncing around over top of this thing that was in the water, and he's going in a circle around it, and then he drops his nose, and he starts circling down to go meet this thing at the surface of the water. And as he goes down, the thing kind of turns in one motion and starts mirroring him as he's coming down towards the surface of the water. So then he cuts across the circle to go meet it. And as he goes to meet it, it just blinks and it's gone. And then he gets a radio transmission. So this is the actual video. I'm not playing it on the podcast, but this is what he's picking up on radar. And this is what they pick up on the FLIR camera, which is a forward-looking infrared radar, which is, this is all black and white, and it's picking up heat signatures. So this is a heat signature of what they were looking at. It was tic-tac shape. So it blows past him, and he can't see it, and he doesn't know where it went. And then he gets a radio commission from, I think, the Nimitz, which was a ship, and he says, "Sir, you're not going to believe this, but that thing is back at your cap point." And the cap point is where they originally took off from. So then they go back to the cap point, and they don't find it, and it's gone. But then this is taken from the next pilot that goes out to launch after that crew had got in, and they find it and they film it. And then you see at the very end of this video, it takes off to the left and goes out of frame, and they say it's going faster than anything we have in our inventory.
That's wild.
Isn't that awesome?
And here's the deal. I've said this all along. I'm very cynical. My brain does not allow me to go anywhere. I'm not a creative guy. But that's wild.
Isn't that insane, dude?
It's really,
them
really
saying
wild.
That it goes faster than anything we have in our inventory is absolutely insane.
He said it went from, I think it was a distance of 60 miles in 30 seconds.
That's insane.
They said before they went out on the mission, whatever they call them, before they went out and do what they do, their operations off the coast, people that have been running the battleships and I think it's the USS Nimitz, I think it was, they had been picking these things up off the coast, and they would drop from 80,000 feet down to 20,000 feet, mill around at the surface, and then go back up to 80,000 feet. And if you don't know, 80,000 feet is space.
Oh, wow.
Do you think he's just lying?
No, bro.
Honestly,
no,
that's where my brain goes, Jared.
He's a commanding officer of the military.
They are not lying, bro. They have no reason to lie. Just so people like us can talk about it, that's not why they...
And this was 15 years ago. Another incident was taken, I can't remember exactly where, but it was...
I just don't know, Jeff.
He was a fighter pilot named Ryan Graves. They had official U.S. court hearings, and Commander David Fravor gave a statement. It was like 15 minutes long. He gives a statement of exactly what happens, what I just said, in a congressional hearing, which is insane. But there's another, Ryan Graves. He's another fighter pilot for, I think, the Navy, maybe the Air Force. I can't remember which one. But they're flying an operation, and he said that he was flying with one of his other wingmen, and he went right past one of them, and it was a sphere, like a translucent sphere with an opaque cube in the middle of it, and they blew past it, and then it went away.
Jeff, what do you think is more concerning? That whoever is out there, name the planet or universe, wherever they're from, what's more concerning? That they found us and they can toy with us, or that we haven't found anything yet? Or if we have, like,
the first one,
that they can just toy with us whenever.
But here's my question. Like, obviously, they got to be from the beginning of time, too, right?
Yes.
So my question is, how is...
Did they advance so fast?
Well, that and also, like, there should be black and white information by now.
Yeah.
That's, like, how has there not been any confirmed...
There are these...
Right, black and white information.
I don't know.
While we were sitting here, I've been, like, looking up. Has the government said aliens exist? Is there life on other planets? Like, anything. It says, no, the government has not confirmed aliens exist. The Pentagon, NASA, and White House have all stated they have no evidence that unexplained objects are extraterrestrial.
Because I believe that the government, and Joe Rogan actually asked Trump about this when he had him on his podcast, and Trump kind of danced around the question and didn't answer it fully. But there's a man named Lou Elizondo who was formerly in the CIA, and he works for a company called ATIP now, which is Advanced Something Aerospace, I don't know. But it's some aerospace program, and he claims that the government, for certain, 100% certain, has physical and video evidence of extraterrestrial.
Oh, I believe it.
So two things then. Then why are they able to talk about, this guy's able to, at his level, is able to talk about what you just got done showing, but if there's more information, why isn't it disclosed, or are they trying to protect us?
I would hope to say protect us.
So a lot of people say, or at least people that posturize about why the government isn't giving away this information, is because, number one, people would probably lose their minds, so we would probably get if the world all of a sudden knew that we were no longer alone, that there was a species or some sort of alien civilization that has equipment and technology far superseding what we have in our inventory, people would freak out and believe that there's no point in the world's going to go to hell. They're going to destroy us all. So what's the point? So it could throw people into chaos. And then the third is potentially it's either a foreign threat. So it's somebody in our world, Russia, China, North Korea, or they don't want to give that what information they have just in case another nation doesn't have this information about these things. So they don't want to put potentially that on the radar for other nations.
So I think right now, if I'm fair to say, it's probably a little bit of split in this room. You're a little bit kind of cynical.
Yes.
I'm a little cynical. You guys are probably bigger believers. Here's my next question for the believers. Why, if you got to put your mind in an alien now, why haven't they showed themselves? Like, what would be the purpose of their end on why, if they could take over and they have all this technology and they could come down and wipe us out and run our world and do whatever they wanted to in the homeland, why hasn't that transpired?
To be completely honest with you, I don't think there's anything here for them. Like, I don't know what we would have that could benefit them if they found us this
McDonald's?
Quick. You know what I mean?
They could supersize them.
Because here's my thing. If we all are from the beginning of time, what is saying that our species, we're called humans, right? Let's say there's thousands and millions of other species out there across this massive universe. What's saying that we haven't done this already and we blew ourselves up once? And then, now we're back to restart. Like, we humans might have already had all this technology.
Well, there's also the thought that we are so far unadvanced than any other civilization.
Yeah, they might be wasting their time here.
They could look at these, like, hey, look at these, like, monkeys that don't, they're just beating each other up and blowing each other up. We don't want them to, they're not allowed in our civilization because they're so, I mean, that's why do we not put ants in government? Because they're not, they don't offer enough value. Or there's also, you and I think of an alien as something with two legs, maybe six arms and maybe four legs and a head. But aliens could be something that we have no way of idealizing that in our brain. Like, they could be a totally different physical form that we have no ability to comprehend inside of our heads, which is...
So do you think that there is actually human life? That's a strong word. Do you think there's actually people that are human, that are aliens, that they're here and they're spying us right now?
How can we say no? Like, that's like, what?
There's a lot of weirdos out there.
Yeah, saying, how are we allowed to say no?
Are there aliens that have like
portrayed
assimilated into the
as the human body right now?
Yeah, I mean, I could see
there's a lot of people on the earth, so maybe.
It does. Here's the deal. I can't say that it doesn't intrigue me, because it does. I just, unfortunately, once again, my brain can't go there, because I know you're showing me what you're showing me and all that stuff. I just think I'm just a big, I got to visualize. I got to wrap my head around it to be able to have any sense of
that. You know what's crazy about that is, like, I don't even know if I'm allowed to believe in this with like my religion, but the religion I believe in, like, I'm a strong Catholic, like the God that I was taught and learned to believe in, how, like, it's very, I feel like, possible for him to create so many different species.
I mean, that's a good point.
Like, you know what I mean? We don't have to be the only ones. I think it's crazy.
Well, I definitely believe that there's some kind of life on a planet somewhere else, for sure. That to me intrigues me.
How
the
about
fact
this?
How vast the universe is.
Yeah.
And I wrote a blog post about this months and months and months ago about how big the universe is, and I'll pull it up here so I can read it again. But they found an asteroid that landed. It was an 11-year project. I can't remember. I think it was Eru or something. It was the asteroid was called Eru, RRRU, I think. I could be wrong on that. EMMU or something. It started with an E and ended with a U. Anyway, they landed on this asteroid or comet or whatever it was. They scooped some dirt up and then brought it back to the Earth. And they said it had amino acids in it, partial structures of genetic code, and other like life-forming building blocks on this thing, so they could possibly, you know, prove that there's some sort of...
You know what I saw recently? This is sick, too. We can change the subject after this. There was a guy talking on Rogan that said, I think he's an aerospace engineer, maybe. I can't remember. He said it's going to be possible for us to move fast enough to where we can get to that light speed, like, close. Like, one day, where that everyone talks about this light speed era. He said the issue is that we're going to be able to move fast enough to go somewhere, to get somewhere. But the way that time works with all the light speed stuff, is that, yeah, we'll get there super fast, but 4 million years are going to pass on Earth.
That's crazy.
So they're not going to be able, by the time they get the message back to us with how time works, is like,
dude, that's
is
wild.
Like, yeah, you'll be, let's say you're 55 right now, you'll be able to get there, you'll be 55 in a month, but 4 million years are going to pass back here on Earth.
That to me is the craziest, I can't wrap my head.
They said they're going to be able to get there, but they can't figure out how they're going to be able to get the message back.
I can't wrap my head around how smart people are.
It's
insane, dude.
I mean, honestly, that stuff. And I know we're going to change the subject, but it's kind of the same thing, just real quick. What about those two people that are still up in space after 8 months?
Are they still up there?
They're still up. They did an interview the other day on national news. And I guess there's a lot of people, obviously, the true conspiracy theories and all that stuff, that this is all ploy and that the government's doing them wrong and NASA's doing them wrong. So I think it was more of a customer service to let them know that they're doing okay and that they don't feel let down by any. I still don't understand the concept of why they're still there. But I guess my question to you guys is, can you imagine? So here's the deal. If there is, quote unquote, this extra, whatever you call that, wouldn't you think that they would, being up there for 8 months, that they would come across something funky?
Dude.
I agree. Like, you're just, what are you doing up there? You're just looking out the window?
I got a dirty question.
Here might be the reason why. So I wrote this in a blog back in July. Unlike anything comprehensible by the human mind, there is no scale of the universe, only what we can see. The observable universe is estimated to be 92 to 94 billion light years in diameter. And the reason that it's measured in light years and not something smaller like miles is that astronomers found rather quickly that the number becomes far too large far too quickly. For reference, one light year is 6 trillion miles. So that's 6 with 12 zeros after it. So you do the math. Not to mention the volume of the observable universe is 410 nanillion light years, which is 41 with 31 zeros after it. And saying that, this is just what we can see. What we can't see, according to scientific estimates, puts the unobservable universe at about 23 trillion light years across, or 15 million times the volume of what we can currently observe. So in layman's terms, we can see, so for as far as we can see, which is 92 to 94 billion light years in diameter, we can only see 0.4% of the universe.
That's wild.
That is just absolutely.
And I guess it goes back to the smartness of people. Like, how do people even know that that's even a possibility?
Isn't it crazy there's kids 10 years younger than us, you know what I mean, that are now studying this,
which is absurd,
and they're freakishly smart, and that's going to be what they'll do for the next 60 years.
And actually, more impressive is that somebody figured this out. So the people that actually were able to come up with this content in order for somebody to study is absolutely crazy.
There's a kid that went to Central that I think he lives in Oregon now. He's an engineer. What he'll do for the next 60 years, the company he works for right now, his job is to find life form on other planets that humans could live off of.
Oh wow!
That's his job. If he works there for the rest of his life, he'll.
I wonder what the salary is for something like that.
Dude, I can't even imagine.
All right, so I got to ask the dirty question, and unfortunately, I got to show Doyle's orneriness.
I got a feeling that I know what you're going to say.
It's a man and a female. Have they had sex
in space?
I'm saying, as in, these people have been up there for 8 months.
Oh.
They're not husband and wife.
I think so.
No, I'm gonna give them credit and say no, they haven't. They're up there working.
I don't know if they're married in real, like, as in doubt, whatever the case might be. But
I think you'd get pretty bored up there.
I mean, what else? I mean, there's not a lot to do,
dude. You want to know why I don't think they have? Because if they don't know how long they're gonna be up there, right?
I don't think they do. No,
there's no way they take a risk of her getting pregnant on that.
Well,
know what I mean? They're too smart.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Can you get pregnant in space?
Well, I'm not sure if she's of childbearing age either.
Oh. How old is she?
Is she older? Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay.
So if the baby is born in space,
it'd be the first extraterrestrial baby ever born.
Yeah, would it be? Where would his hometown be?
Wow.
It wouldn't be an earthen baby.
Yeah, what do you put on birth certificate? That's a good question.
That baby's literally born in space. You'd have to, the latitude and long, you would have to give it like a, right, Jub?
I don't know. The baby would just be not of planet Earth. It'd be an alien baby.
And actually, I'm going to take this a step further with science and the natural progression of giving birth is all very much pressure and gradient. And I would imagine space has got to screw that up a little bit.
That's what
right?
I'm saying. Like, could you even have a baby up there?
Can you conceive
a baby? Yeah, can you get pregnant in space?
What if you can have more babies? Like, she's like a dog. Yeah. And she has like 7 babies.
Yeah.
I just said, this is funny. We're talking about this 27 minutes ago. It says that the NASA's two stuck astronauts may return to Earth sooner under new plan.
There you go, Jeff. They're coming back.
They're coming back. Thank God. And she comes back with a belly.
Gosh, they may come home in mid-March instead of late March or April.
All right. Well, guys, I got a question for you, specifically Jeff, because I asked you, Jeff and Soup, because we haven't talked about this since, Jarrett and I have on the radio. But it's been a week now, or weekend has passed since the Super Bowl, and I want to get both of your guys' opinions on exactly what you thought about the Super Bowl. So I'm going to start with, because I haven't seen Jeff in a while, we're going to start with him.
I really thought that Philadelphia had a fighter's chance, but in my heart of hearts, I thought Kansas City was Kansas City, so I didn't think that they would win. That's number one. Never in my lifetime, I'm a gambling man, I would have ever thought that the end result would have been that kind of ass beating. I tell you, I was kind of shell-shocked. I really was. Very surprised. We're a very big Super Bowl family. Like, we've had a tradition ever since, I mean, my dad, when I was still living in my home, my dad always housed the Super Bowl. And we've just carried on the tradition with him being passed. Like, that's just, it's a fun day for us. All kinds of food. We do, we put money together for now that there's prop bets and you can do that shit. But we also create like a 20 questionnaire that my brother-in-law comes up with that we all put $5 in, and it's like commercial based and all that kind of stuff. So the Super Bowl has always been a big day in my family, so I always really, really enjoy it, and it was a great day. Minus that my two great nieces were there, and they're very, very young. I think, one's three, and the other one is getting ready to turn a year. And my wiener dogs are just fucking brutal. So I was on, like pins and needles the whole day because I was concerned that they were gonna rip.
The mafia was gonna go.
So it was a little bit tense that way. But I guess I'll take it one step further. Unless if you were gonna ask about a job, I'll let you answer first, and we'll talk about the halftime.
Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
Well, I mean, we can just talk. Like, it's simple as this. I thought Mahomes was the GOAT, and I thought he was gonna solidify it there. But what Brady did over his career just shows how much more impressive what Mahomes did. Like, if Brady's in that situation when Mahomes was down 24, I still thought he wasn't out of it. But that's like a game that Brady comes back and makes it close. I saw a stat that Brady was leading in all 10 of his Super Bowls at one point in the fourth quarter. Brady went 7-3 in his Super Bowls.
Well, not to contradict you, remember they were down 28-3 against Atlanta.
That's what I'm saying, and like that's
and then he came back
exactly,
and won.
Which was why I was waiting on Mahomes to do it. I was like, this is a
and
game
that makes sense.
This is a game. If he's going to solidify or get in that conversation, this is probably one he needs. And here's the thing: he's so young still, and he has all of his 30s. But Brady went to 3 Super Bowls when he was in his 40s. Like, I want to root so bad for Mahomes. Like you said, I knew the Eagles had a chance. I didn't think there was any way they won that way. And to talk about betting, can you imagine if the line was like, because the Eagles just won by 18, can you imagine if it was like Eagles -9.5 to start the game?
Oh,
how
wow.
many people would have taken the Chiefs at +9 and
Without
got smoked?
I
bet the Chiefs 3 times.
Yeah.
When I bet them before the game, bet them twice during the game because I thought there was no way that they were losing that
Facts.
Game. I just had that feeling that it was like destiny. They'd win 3 in a row, and
yeah,
the script was setting up perfect. They'd have a big halftime deficit. They'd come back when Mahomes would be considered the GOAT.
Yeah,
and that did not happen. That didn't turn out.
Two things. What was I forget? What was the final score again?
40-22.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was a. Did you guys see the bettor out there that bet 3 extra points for Kansas City?
Oh. What?
And they went for 2 on all 3.
Oh.
That's number 1.
I didn't even know you could bet that.
I didn't know that either, to be honest. And then the Doyles did a Super Bowl square combo at the Vets. We were on the last play, the last touchdown Kansas City. If they don't get that, we had 0-0. If they don't get that
2-point
with Hawkins, we win frontwards and backwards at $5,000.
Oh my god.
And as soon as the ball was released, Luke yells, he overthrew him. If it's anybody else but D-Hop, who's got the hands of the size of my feet.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable catch. Yes.
Yeah. Kendrick, I'm a huge rap guy and I love his music. To me it felt like someone choreographed everything that has never done it before. Like, I felt like they could have done so much cooler stuff. It was a little strange to me. I love Kendrick's music. I think there was a couple situations that were good, but the rest of it was kind of like, I don't know. I might sound like a boomer here, but just put country or rock out there, and let them and go put on a rock concert or a halftime show. Like, Cooley asked us. He sent us a text and said, "Please, somebody rip the halftime performance for me." That's what Cooley said.
I'd be interested to see what he won. Like what. He said, I didn't like it either. I feel like it didn't. Everybody, you know, cater to everybody, but it seemed like he didn't even play all of his good songs.
I know.
I mean, he played a couple, and then he obviously played the Drake diss, which everybody wanted to hear, mm-hmm. which I still think is just weird that's like he's obsessing still over Drake, that everybody wants him to play the song. I don't know. I thought it was terrible. I thought, honestly, from the halftime show, the commercials, the game itself, the worst Super Bowl that I've seen for sure.
Statement. Yeah, the commercials. Was no one ready to spend money this year? There was like no commercials.
And I think at the end of the day, that has always been, once again, a highlight for the household, and that's fun for people that's not big football fans. I just feel like the last probably 10 to 12 years, in my opinion, the commercial value has truly went downhill.
How many times have we seen Matthew McConaughey, for the love of God?
How much much money is that dude making?
I got to look up how many was
Jeff, here's the other thing, too. I saw that stat come up on the screen that the average cost for a Super Bowl commercial was $8 million.
Which is
so even if you're a Fortune 500 company and you have a marketing budget and they say, hey, you can come and spend, let's say the average cost is $8 million. So let's say your commercial is going to be $5.5 million. You're going to reach 120 million people with this commercial. What's the ROI look like for $5 million? Is your commercial going to make people laugh and buy your product? Is your commercial going to make you be interested and buy the product? Or are people just going to forget about the commercial for $5 million?
It's all valid.
Is it going to work? Or can you go spend $100,000 and put your ad up for 30 seconds in New York where there's a proven ROI? Know what I mean?
It's a really good point. And actually, there were so many things that I've never even heard of.
Yes.
That was it. Like the products or services that like literally was the first time it's ever fallen on my eyes or ears. And I'm also going to preface that I'm actually a very big, believe it or not, I'm a very big rap guy. I grew up on rap. I'm probably definitely way more old school rap, the Biggie, the Tupac and all that happy horse shit. I've come with having a younger son that it's not that I dislike the new age rap. It just, I can't relate to it a lot.
Yeah.
Not that I could relate to the Biggie. I wasn't going out there and shooting people up and stuff. I'm not saying
Hey, Jeff used to drive like a lowrider caddy.
That's exactly
he used
right.
to drive around.
We used to circle Garden Park and bump.
Yeah.
But I guess whoever said it over here, like it should be something that I know it's hard to tailor to everybody's lives.
Yeah.
And I get that. And let's be honest, hip hop is probably, I don't know what would be bigger right now. I don't know if hip hop or country. I don't know. I don't think you could probably find a happy middle, but I'm not sure Kendrick is the happy middle.
Yeah, I agree. I used to hate rap. As I've gotten older, I actually enjoy it quite a bit, like old school rap. I really do. I love Biggie. I love Tupac. I even new age stuff like Big X a Plug, Big 30. When Jarrett plays that stuff, I actually don't mind it. And even people like Kanye, I listen to a few of his songs, and I do not dislike rap like I used to, but I just don't think I don't think that is a Super Bowl artist. You got to really know that stuff, to me at least, and I feel like his type of rap is super.
No, exactly, because
it's super.
Kendrick,
niche.
I'm a huge fan of Kendrick. Our buddy Earl put me on him when we were freshmen in college. I listen to him all the time, and I really, really like his music. But it's a halftime show, not a halftime concert.
Right.
That's a great point.
Kendrick, dude, if we had an hour to go to a Kendrick concert, it'd be unbelievable.
Right.
He had 20 minutes to put on a show, and he tried to rap the whole show.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, there's some cool dancing, and like I said, there's some really cool stuff, but it would have been better if he rapped for 2 minutes and they danced for a minute to keep people's attention.
Yeah, and how many football fans that are there? I would like to know the median age for who is there, which I'm assuming it was not. The median age is not young, I'd imagine.
I'd say mid-30s, yeah.
I'd say you're a little older. And I would say that a lot of people there probably are out of the ballpark of Kendrick's music.
Yeah.
I think that we're looking at the Katy Perrys of the world. And
but, here's the other thing, too, Jubb. It's something like Jaguar just did this, too. Jaguar put out a commercial that had everyone talking about it, right? Yeah, did Kendrick's performance maybe stink? The entire world is talking about
that's
Kendrick right
point.
Now.
Well,
yeah,
and
so did he
point.
Do his job?
Yeah, he did do his job.
Know what I mean?
Well, what do they say? Good pub and bad pub. It doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think for people in my age, I think people really liked it. I think people really liked it in my age bracket. I think it was a hit for a lot of people. Just I don't know. It didn't feel to me. It was almost a little awkward. It felt awkward. It didn't feel like it was the place for a rap like that. I don't know. Maybe.
How about this? You want to find out if it worked or not? Spotify said on Monday, Lamar's performance caused his songs to spike in streams in the hours following his Super Bowl performance. His entire catalog spiked 175%.
Well, that's funny you say that, Soup, because I just looked up, because I wanted to see the difference between Drake and Kendrick's monthly listeners on Spotify. And I think before the Super Bowl, Kendrick didn't have as many as Drake did. Drake has 75.2 million monthly listeners on Spotify. Kendrick now has 88.9 million. So
that's insane.
Over 10 million more than Drake does. So I guess it did work. And I'm a Drake guy, but I mean, I don't mind Kendrick. To me, I thought it should have been Lil Wayne. I thought Lil Wayne would have been perfect because awesome. Lil Wayne's from New Orleans.
Yeah, people busted balls on
the
that.
The Super Bowl is in New Orleans. More people, I feel like
that would have been cool.
Like
that would
have been really cool. Lil Wayne. I think Lil Wayne was actually upset that he wasn't.
Or bring him out. Yeah. Kendrick could have brought him out.
Yeah, at least bring
together.
Him out. I was kind of upset by that. It would have been awesome. It would have been perfect.
And even if you don't like Lil Wayne, you know, you probably that everybody knows at least a Lil Wayne.
He's probably more old school. Though.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
it caters to because I know a lot of young people still like Lil Wayne. Mm-hmm. The older generation knows Lil Wayne. That would have been perfect.
Hannah would leave me in a heartbeat for Lil Wayne. It wouldn't even be close. It wouldn't even be close.
That'd be an honor, Joe.
She would have been doing backflips if he came out. But I think that. Oh, in saying that, I think it was better than last year's Usher performance. I think Usher last year was a literal steaming pile of shit.
I can't even remember him.
I hated that.
Well, three things. I need to write them down before I forget.
Not as good as Katy Perry, though.
Legend.
Or CeeLo Green.
Well, two things. Just to tell you how much of a dumbass I am, I'm watching the performance, and I'm going, man, that chick looks like Serena Williams.
Yeah. I said the same thing.
And I had no idea until the next day that it was Serena Williams. Yeah. I'm like, wow, she looks really familiar to me. And people were really giving her shit for doing it, too, because she was doing, what do they call
the
that?
The Crip Walk.
Crip Walk, yes. And they were just talking how classless that was, blah, 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 this and that.
Do you
that.
Know why she was out there?
I guess it's Drake's old lady
old
friend.
Old lady friend, yeah.
So second part of that is, do you know what the number one Super Bowl performance of all time was?
Michael Jackson?
Nope.
Was it his?
Mm-mm.
Wait, what's it ranked off of?
Viewers. Let's be honest, there's a lot of people that don't watch the Super Bowl and just turn it on for the halftime show.
Oh, okay.
Janet Jackson.
Nope.
Katy Perry.
I was actually kind of surprised.
Was it country?
This. No.
Was it rock?
Nope. Beatles?
Nope.
It was rap?
Mm-hmm.
Ice Cube. Was he done?
Did Biggie do a Super Bowl?
Mm-mm. No.
I feel like it's recent.
Don't
recent?
Tell us.
I can't it remember the year. Recent.
It was a rapper, and it was the number one performance of all time.
Viewership.
Did Eminem do one?
He did.
But it wasn't him.
Nope. Well, he could have been a part of it now that I'm
okay, but he
on.
Wasn't the main, like, no. the face.
Dr. Dre?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that was a few years ago, I think.
I can't remember how long ago.
Yeah, let me look it up.
Was that any good? Do you remember that?
I don't vividly remember, but I'm definitely, I mean, that's more my speed
Dr.
from a stand.
Dre.
Dr. Dre
wow.
and all that stuff.
Jeff, did you feel like, and because you just got done saying that, you know, the Super Bowl was a big thing for your family. Did you feel at all like there wasn't as much? Well, two things. Did you feel like this was as equal in build up as the other Super Bowls?
I know where you're going with that. Do I feel like back in the day that it was hyped up more? Yes,
because I felt like number one, I was asleep within 4 minutes of the first quarter. I was snoring on the couch, but I felt like when I was a kid, the Super Bowl when it was in range. It was, everybody was buzzing the day of. We deep fried like a turkey in the front yard, and that was when the Steelers were in the Super Bowl. But even then, we would have people over. My dad would be at the house. We'd have everybody at the house. We'd be getting ready to party. And this year, it just kind of felt like just like nothing.
Well, you got to think about the teams that were playing too. Kansas City's, even though it is Mahomes, they're a small market for Kansas City. And the Eagles, like, no one really likes the Eagles unless you're from Philly. So if there was two bigger teams that we were kind of rallied around, you would have felt a lot more like in the air on the social media.
I agree.
On the,
two teams that pretty much everybody hates if you're not from
that's a good
the
point.
Cities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, like
point.
If a team like if the Commanders make it,
That would have been
like,
awesome.
You would have seen a ridiculous amount of hype and media like going after the young rookie quarterback. But no, Jubb, I agree. I felt the same way. I didn't feel any like lead up to it, which is weird.
That's a good point. And I do think that's kind of died off. And I don't know why, though. I agree with your answer. I think media definitely drives some of that in big market teams versus small market teams. It's so funny. I know I've shared this story, but just a refresher. I'll never forget the day, you'll appreciate this, I was leaving for Connecticut to go away for 3 weeks when I got a drug rep job, and I was going away for 3 weeks for training, and I pulled out of my driveway and I see you guys over there, your front, because I mean obviously we were
you left on Super Bowl Sunday.
We've always been close, but obviously at that time in our life I wasn't coming over and hanging out with your dad and this and that, and I'm pulling out and you guys have the field, your front yard painted. There, you guys have a shit ton of people over there. I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous as fuck because at the end of the day, if you don't pass those tests, they send your ass home. So I was already tight as fuck. This and that, but I remember pulling out like it was yesterday, pulling out. I'm nervous as hell. You guys are over there having a good old
time.
Were
you getting on a plane on Super Bowl Sunday?
Super Bowl Sunday.
Wow. We had my dad painted the
it was
front
unbelievable.
Yard.
Unbelievable.
And our front yard's probably like I don't know, maybe 50, probably 100 feet long, maybe.
30 yards?
Maybe 30 yards, probably about 30 yards. And he had the entire
it was
front
unreal.
Yard was painted like a football field and had the Steeler logo in midfield. And we had like, I don't know, probably every hash mark was like a five foot or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, we brought a big turkey fryer out and turkey. it ended up snowing.
Oh.
The Super Bowl Sunday, it ended up snowing, and my dad got this massive tarp the entire front yard, and then like when it was game day, pulled the tarp off, and it was completely.
We have an unbelievable picture.
Yeah,
of
what? You know what? I mean, maybe
where's
I'll try
the picture?
We'll find it.
I'll try to clip this maybe, and I'll make a reel out of
it
and put the picture
sick.
in the
I want that picture in my house.
Yeah. It was the coolest thing, and we were all dressed up in our Steeler gear. That was when my dad was a big Steeler fan.
Was it the one we won or the most recent one that we lost against the Packers?
No, that was the one we won against the Cardinals, I believe. Yeah,
and the turkey was frozen. And they put the turkey in almost blew up and it boiled over. And we had grease in our front yard for like a week. And our dog would just go out and stand in the front yard for hours and lick the oil off the ground.
Yeah, that was a hell of a time.
True Mark Delbrook fashion.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah,
Of course, it was like, I remember he was like, we got to get the news up here to see this.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, that was a good time. That was Super Bowl what? That had been Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
Was that 2009?
We won 05 and 07.
So that would have been 2007, I think.
That's crazy, too. Yeah. And last question for you guys, because since we were talking about Drake and Kendrick, what is the beef?
There was a song that I want to say I can't remember exactly how it started, and I had done my research on this, that somebody was featured on Somebody Said Something, and then there was another song where J. Cole, who is another, he basically said that there was the big three, J. Cole, Drake, and Kendrick, and he said this on the song. People were like, who's the big three, J. Cole, Kendrick, or me, or Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole, whatever it was. And Kendrick said in another song that there's no, like, fuck the big three, it's the big me. So he said that there's no competition, that he's the best rapper out. Drake said something, he fired back with a song, and then Kendrick came back with a song that called him a pedophile and this and that.
Kendrick came back with like four songs.
Kendrick came back with this whole thing and like basically just called Drake a child predator and he's a pedophile because I guess years ago he was texting Millie Bobby Brown, who's the star of Stranger Things, when she was underage, and like she said that he was giving her all these tips, and that's where the pedophile stuff came from. So really, I don't think he's an actual pedophile. Maybe he is, but that's kind of what.
Has he ever visited Epstein Island by chance?
Probably, but yeah, basically, it was who's the best rapper?
Okay,
alive.
I always wonder what it was about, and I didn't I didn't care enough to, I guess, dig into it.
Yeah.
The other thing I didn't realize is, now, granted, Kendrick is obviously put together physical wise. I never realized he was so small in stature.
5'5".
Five five.
Oh, is that how?
It's 5'5".
Like he looked tiny. Yeah. That's the part that actually was my biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
That I'm like, damn, that dude's tiny.
It was 2009. Steelers-Cardinals, 2009.
Oh, so we won 06 and 08 then, 2006.
It was 2009-2006 against the Seahawks.
Wow.
And then, 2009 against the Cardinals. That was at Raymond James in Tampa. I didn't know that. I thought that was indoors.
Wait, so, Jared, if we won in 2005 and 2009, that means we won the 2004 season and the 2008 season. Is that how that works?
Yes.
Yes,
because the Super Bowl is
the next year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys?
You'd be right. The 2008 to 9 season. 2008. Yeah.
What's your guys' thoughts on Valentine's Day?
We talked about this on the radio. I think it was today or Monday. Jubb has an interesting stance.
I would love to hear your stance.
Well,
Trevor.
I mean, it's not really an interesting stance, but I told him on the radio. I'm really thankful that Hannah's not a big Valentine's Day person. We agreed this year that we're not spending money other than a meal, and we're not going.
Good.
We're not splashing out
Good.
On each other because we just celebrated. Her birthday was in October, Christmas, obviously, and then something else. I can't remember what we were doing. But anyway, we don't spend money. We're not spending money this year, and she thinks it's stupid that you spend money for one day when, you know, we're with each other 364 more days. It's pointless to spend money on stuff that, you know, it's not important. So I'm thankful for that reason. And yeah, so nothing really interesting other than that take. But yeah, we're just going to have a meal and not spend money on stupid stuff. And
are you going somewhere, or are you cooking?
No, we were going to go. She got me these dice for the only argument we've ever had that has been real is over food and where to eat and why. And because I'm very indecisive. I'm not that I'm indecisive. I'm you know, a bigger guy, so I'll eat literally anything. I don't care where it's from, what it is. I will eat anything.
It makes me so mad because it happens every time before the show. Usually I'll run up to 7-Eleven, and my dad will say, give me a Diet Coke and some combos, and I'll be like, what do you want, Jubb? By the way, Jubb turned into a monkey. If you're watching this, he's not in his seat regular, but he was replaced by a monkey. But I'll go, what do you want? Well, just grab me this and then he says these stupid fucking words. What'd you say today? You said, get me something in a bag of crabs. So I said, what's that? And he won't say anything. So
I love being surprised by things. I love not choosing and being surprised because I like a lot of stuff.
Okay.
He says that I get mad at him for bringing me things, but I'm not mad. I don't get mad. I will rarely ever dislike what people get me to eat or drink because I don't care. I like to eat everything.
That's
so
great.
One day I think I was at a restaurant and I couldn't. Oh, it was Ellen Jack's.
Okay.
And I never had thought to do this before, and I do it now if I'm in a new restaurant.
Oh, yeah, you mix and match.
I'll say the Cuban sandwich and the Philly cheesesteak. I don't know which one to get, so just surprise me with one of them. So then they'll go back and pick one, and then they bring me out one or the other.
Oh, that's actually kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a really hard time picking stuff, but I'll eat anything. I will eat anything that you put in front of me because I just love food. So Hannah and I, the only other argument we've ever legitimately had is based off of me being indecisive and her, or me not caring and her being indecisive. So she bought me these dice for Christmas, and they have I can't remember what it has on it, but it's like where to eat and then what kind of food.
Ooh.
So it's like eat in, cook inside, grocery store, fast food, sit down. And then on the other one, it's like Mexican, Chinese, Italian. And then you roll the dice, and that's what you eat for the day.
Are you doing that next
So that's Friday? What we're doing for Valentine's Day is rolling the dice, and then we go. And
what are you hoping it lands
okay.
on?
I don't know. I mean, if it, not a knock on her, but I would probably cook if it came on to cooking in, because I like to cook. I enjoy cooking. So if it's cooking inside, I hope it's American food,
because mm-hmm.
then I can make smash burgers or something.
Yeah.
If it's Italian, that's the only thing I will be a little disappointed about.
Do you not like to cook Italian?
I don't like it. I don't really like Italian. I say that, but I will eat a plate of spaghetti and meatballs.
When it's 90 degrees outside?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
But, I don't really care. I hope it's Chinese.
Here's the only negative for you with this whole situation, because I do think the concept's awesome, but you do understand the concept that it is fucking Valentine's Day and you're playing with fire, that the fact of matter, whatever you roll, and if you got to go eat somewhere, that you may be waiting.
Oh. Yeah, Jeff, you're right. Jeff,
yeah,
you're right.
That's right.
That's a
We might have to go early, after the show.
Yeah, I don't think it's really. I mean, honestly, if we sat inside and just like sat on the couch and ate ramen, we'd probably be cool with that.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. But it says just, a lot about your relationship, yeah, though, which is super cool,
I
too.
I know, and I don't know. I know that I kind of feel bad. My biggest thing was I told her, I don't want your friends being like, hey, what did he get you for Valentine's Day? And she's like, oh, nothing. I don't want to look like a dickhead because I didn't get her anything. Well, I'm not going to get her anything. Well, I don't know about that. I might get her something, a small thing. I got her a dollar. I got her a, what are they called? What do they put their, you put in the bathtub? Rubber duckies. I got her a dollar rubber ducky from Target. It was like pink and had a heart on it. And like
See,
a Stanley
that's
cup.
Awesome. Yeah, right? You don't but need like, a $5,000 watch.
I think I told Cooley that too. I was like, if you, for Valentine's Day, just get something that like
yes.
actually is meaningful.
Yes, 100%.
Rather than spending $1,000 on a
I wish he was here right now. I wish Cools was here right now. Because I feel like he's the type of guy, I feel like he's stressing about Valentine's Day right now.
Yeah.
But it's different for him, though, because it's his birthday.
Yes.
His birthday is on Friday, Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it's like he has to treat her, but she
really
also has to
yeah,
treat
that's
him.
That's a good point.
What's your wifey expect on
I was
going
to say, you're the long season.
Nothing. I'll be
Will
honest,
you do anything?
Probably not. Actually, no, because my buddy's coming in for Virginia, and I think we're going to go out on Friday night.
Oh, cool. Well, that's something.
Well, it is something. But no, we've never – no, don't be wrong. I think when you are in your infancy stage of a relationship, do I think it's probably a little bit more relevant?
Definitely.
I do. But I do. I agree with – if everybody's in agreement, I think it's a horrible day. I'm a big believer in treating your loved one the same way
yes.
all year long mm-hmm. to hype it up. I do think it's a money grab. I put it this way. I would really struggle that if I was settling down with a woman that it meant that much to her.
Mm. Yeah.
It would probably it would be a huge turnoff.
That's a red flag, I think. Like if you didn't do like a rose petals and chocolates and like candlelit dinner and all this and she's mad about that, that's probably It's probably a problem.
I got Sammy like a little bear and like an energy drink and
yeah,
it
what
said
are
like,
you
be
doing?
Mine.
Yeah.
It's like $5 and they love like that's so that's
well, you,
so nice.
You sent a text the other day and you said don't forget to
ask your girl to be your Valentine.
Then
you
said
they
like
you don't need to go get like a you don't need to go get her a new Mercedes. Like just ask her somehow nice and be like, will you be my Valentine on Friday? You know what I mean? Like you don't have
that's
to
all, you know that's
you don't have to go like job like you said.
Are you gonna ask Cheryl if she'll be your Valentine?
Be my Valentine, yeah, pretty pleased.
You know what I mean?
Did
yeah.
you? Oh, here's a question.
I
gotta do work, but I'm gonna talk anyway.
I gotta do work.
We got about a little bit left.
So. When you were in school, Jeff, did you have to do the Valentine's Day cards?
Oh,
did
yeah.
you do that?
Oh, my goodness.
So were you required, and probably not because our, you know, the school system, you know, it's pretty changed since when you were in school. Did you have to, if you gave a Valentine's to somebody in class, did you have to give them to everybody in the class?
I don't vividly remember, but we went to a Catholic school, so I'm going to vote yes.
Assuming, yeah.
Yes, I would assume so, yes. Do you think so, Sue?
Well, it's funny you say that because when we got older, they didn't require it. Like you could make
right.
the boxes, but when you were like kindergarten, first grade, second grade, you had to make one for everyone. But like the third, fourth, and fifth grade, that's when stuff got a little dicey because,
oh, really?
Dude, like everyone makes a box, but I only have like 5 in mine, and someone over there has got 20. Like,
oh no, you had
no,
your
jump,
box,
jump,
was
jump. I'm being serious. Like,
soup,
jump.
Your
I'm being
box
serious.
Was probably overflowing.
No, it wasn't because like you would make like. You would make a couple maybe funny ones for your guy friends, but then you would make a Valentine's card for the girl that you thought.
Yeah, did
you like.
Did you make one for like a girl?
Oh,
you
I'm
thought,
sure.
Like,
I'm
like,
sure I did.
Did you write a little something special?
I'm sure, and I never signed it. I don't want them to know it was from me.
Oh.
Did you have to make like a box? Did you make? Did you guys make
we
a
did
box?
Easter and Valentine's, I think.
Yeah, that's a crazy memory. I forgot about that. I remember we had to make you had to like customize your box, mm-hmm. and you like wanted to make it real cool.
Yep.
And you slipped the little thing in.
Yeah.
Mine was a lion one year.
I think we always if I and I don't I think that we always had to
do everybody.
Yeah.
And
I don't remember when we stopped. I think it was maybe until fifth grade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What you had to do
what
it for
a crazy
everybody.
Concept.
Yeah, you had to right. do it for everybody in the class. And then if you wanted to do it for one person in another class, you had to do it for that whole class.
Wow.
So I remember my mom and I hated doing it. I hated writing them, and you'd have to write every one of them because I wasn't going to make my mom do them, and I don't think she wanted to do them anyway because she would help us with the box. I remember so vividly sitting at the third seat on our kitchen counter writing Valentine's Day, and I was so over it, and I would just ask, how many more, Mom? How many more, Mom? Who's next? How many more, Mom? And then finally we get to the end, and I'd be so pissed by the end of it that I didn't even want to do it in school. But then you get into school, and you would be looking through your Valentine's Day, and you'd be wondering if you get one from somebody you like.
Yeah.
And then you would get, and then I would get one from like a girl I didn't like, and she'd be all like lovey-dovey, and I'd be like,
That's now that I'm thinking about that, that is such a wild thing that we did. Do they still do that?
I think
I don't know.
I think it's a production now. Box, like who can make the best box and all that shit.
Was it multiple holidays or just Valentine's Day?
I thought it was just
Valentine's
Valentine's
Day.
What would have been the Easter for, though?
I don't know. For some reason, I thought we had to do it for both, but maybe it was just Valentine's.
That, I completely forgot about that was a thing.
And actually, now I feel bad for your parents because they had to do two boxes.
I know.
I mean, that would have been brutal.
When I get home, I'm going to have to ask my mom about that, how that went.
Yeah,
that's so crazy.
They probably
wanted
to take a pen in their eye.
Oh, you know, my dad wasn't involved.
No.
He wasn't involved.
He was
that.
At the vets. Hey, club.
Oh.
Real quick before we wrap up, has Luke got to do a varsity basketball game?
Yes.
Dude, already?
Yeah, actually,
that's big time, right?
Actually, you know what? You'll appreciate this. He did a JV Shadyside girls the other night, and he had to kick out a grandma.
Shut up!
Well, no way.
Shut up. From the stands?
From the stands.
Was she barking at him?
The whole game. And I guess, and even like his partner was probably more involved with it, more the jawing end. And he kind of was like, you know what? That's enough and this and that. And finally tossed her. And I guess she came out on the court and went nose to nose with him.
Oh, my God.
See, that should never happen. That should never happen.
A grandma?
Grandma.
Old?
I think I actually asked that. Yeah, I think it was either late 60s, early 70s. But I guess it was from the start of the game. I said, well, when did you actually toss her? It was like mid fourth quarter, kept on warning, this and that. And I always, as the dad, and it's not in my business. It's his job. Mm-hmm. It's not in my business. But I also don't want him to be known as the 19-year-old punk.
Yeah. The guy's like throws people out.
ADs came up to him afterwards.
Telling him good job and
partner
him?
In crime. I think he got feedback from people that heard about the situation.
Yeah.
So it was all appropriate. But once again, being the dad and you got more experience that you just don't want.
How do you think he does unbiased?
Actually, I will tell you, when he first started, and obviously this is only year two.
Yeah.
I went and watched more games last year. It's just been a little bit.
Wait,
busy
he's gotten to do varsity and it's only his second year?
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable. But go ahead.
So last year I critiqued him a lot because I think there was he fell in that 18-year-old laziness. Like there was some moments, just like any other, like another sport. Like you have your great moments, and then there was times I'm like, hey, dude, you need to make sure when you're getting down the court, you need to make sure you're turning around so you can see the whole action. I would critique him. I'm not gonna lie, like the last game that I went to, I'll bust his balls all day long. But actually, pretty damn good.
Awesome. He enjoys it, doesn't he?
When I tell you he loves it, like and as you know, he's a baseball kid. He wants to umpire baseball. Like he is true. And he really, if it wasn't for his career choice school-wise, like I seriously think that
he
wants to climb the ladder.
He can do
both.
Awesome.
But like I told him, the only negative, Soup, two things. You can't count on it because there's no way that it's a guarantee that you're going mm-hmm. Division I basketball, number one. And number two, I said, unfortunately, dude, you chose a profession that – I mean, nursing, like, I mean, your schedules are so flipped upside down that you're not guaranteed to have a night off to go travel three hours away. So I don't know, but
it's on his
radar. Like if he can make a Division I, like it's definitely,
what
he loves
good for
it.
Him, man.
Now what happened? All right, here we go. Question for you as a father. He let's say he's, what is he? A sophomore. So let's say into his senior year, he's probably going to be there longer than 4 years if he's doing what he's doing.
I hope not. He shouldn't. I mean, unless if he fucks up.
Never mind. Why am I thinking he's going to be a fucking surgeon? He's going to be in nursing, right? Okay, so let's just say he goes he's going to go like 5.5 years.
Okay.
And in the fourth year, his senior year, he's going to be here one more year to graduate with whatever he wants to be. But in the fourth year, he's been doing refereeing for 4 years. And somebody comes to him and says, hey, you know, we're interested in you climbing the ladder. We want you to referee for give me a D1 school. Give me somebody.
Duke.
All right, we want you to come to
St. John's.
Come to Duke and referee for us. But you got to make a choice. It's either you continue your career because you're gonna have to commit more time. Do you let him go referee D1 basketball, or do you want him to stay and finish his career in nursing?
Probably not a fair question, and here's the reason why. Because I think at the end of the day, if you have that opportunity, which because that's a probably not a real scenario, that's number one, because you got to climb the ladder to get to D1. That's number one. But number two, if I'm living in a fantasy world, you can always go back and get your degree.
Yeah.
That's the way. And like, granted,
wow, facts.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, like, if he had that opportunity and somebody was giving him the golden parachute to go referee Division One to get his feet wet to see if he's going to be possible, if he fucks up in a year and he's only got a year left of school, he can always go back to school.
Yeah.
Are people in his ear telling him how, like, because this is what I did it for 3 years and it's true. Are they in his ear yet about, like, how good it is that he's young? That's like a massive thing.
I'm gonna sound like, and I hate it because I don't. You know how I feel.
Yeah.
About, you know how I feel about this shit. But to answer your question, Soup, yes.
There's they gotta love him.
There's expectations. Everybody, and this is so vain what I'm about to say, but and I think you could probably attest to this. There is a look that they're looking for.
Yeah, and he fits the bill.
He fits the bill. He looks good in the uniform.
Yeah,
he's
he
put
does.
Together.
Mm-hmm. And he's professional. He's smart.
And he knows how to handle the adversity. He does have all the quote unquote qualities that they think that would be the shell of a referee.
I got a funny story about Luke, and then we'll wrap up. A good friend of mine. I'm not going to say any names because Luke doesn't even know this.
Okay, you know him?
Yes, you guys will know him. I'll say it after the game. Somebody that's very close to us was coaching a basketball game, and this is Luke's like first, I think, 2 months of doing it.
Okay,
he either had summer ball or was doing an all-star game. I don't know what the exact situation was. I get a call after the game about someone that was coaching a basketball game. They were walking us through the game. They said it came down to the wire. Someone won by like 2 points. They said there was this ref, man, young kid, like missed a couple calls, and I was in his ear about it. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know it's Luke yet. The person keeps going, talking about the game. They said he missed another call in the third quarter. I gave it to him a little bit and said, just don't miss that same call again. They said fourth quarter, he makes the same call. And this coach was out on the floor asking for a technical, and Luke was ignoring him. That's awesome.
That's great.
Just the coach was just giving it to Luke, and Luke acting like he's not even
there.
That's
great.
That is good
stuff.
That's
awesome.
That's awesome.
They take a lot of shit, man. I tell you what, they do.
They probably get the most, I would say.
Yeah,
they do. They take
a lot of shit. I mean, umpires get it, I'd say, frequent, but I think basketball is the worst because calls can go either way so often, I feel like. Because, I mean, a block, a charge, and then goaltending,
right
all
there.
This, that.
There's no fence. There's no...
I tell you what, he did the... And we'll talk off air about this, but he did a couple weeks ago, eighth grader called him a bitch.
Cool.
So he was tossed. And then we'll talk about the coach after the...
That's unbelievable.
Jeff, I mean, I umpired for maybe 6 months. I did fall ball. I'll never do it again. I will never, ever, I won't umpire. I won't referee. Because I'm a guy that I like when everybody's happy, and I like when everybody's kosher and everything is good. And I try, and as an umpire, you try to do the best you can. I mean, you're making judgment calls based on the best you can, and that ain't enough for people, and it ain't for me. Hats off to Luke.
Yeah, he's going to do great. Dude, that's the other thing, too, with like his career as a nurse. He might be able to graduate as a nurse, go sell farm or med equipment, and nurse on the side, and referee on the side. Like if he's already moved up to college at 22 or something. But
my biggest wish is, I know, and you have a stressful job. The wife and I have a stressful job. I don't want that for him.
No,
like if he could go and have a nice life and make a good living, and it's quote unquote stress free. That's what I wish for him. He's choosing a profession, unfortunately, that is not going to allow him to do that.
I was going
to
say,
but at the end of the day, we've done all the talking. He's hell bent. I still don't think at the end of the day, and I mean this respectfully, because I love the dude to death, I still don't think he's a nurse. I really don't.
Well, it's funny.
I really don't. And it's not because he's not smart enough. I just don't. There is a certain type of person, and I'm sure your cousin can attest to this. There's a certain type of individual that you have to be able to take care of somebody. And I'm just not 100%
sure. That's the most Doyle thing ever, though. Him to go 4 years of nursing and then be like, wow, this kid got a nursing degree. You know what? He is a fit for a D2 ref right now. Let's give him a chance at 22 years old.
That would be
the most Doyle thing ever.
This is I've known Luke for a while now, and I would say, you know, before he went to college, I'd say we got pretty close as friends. Luke doesn't come off to me as somebody with a very good bedside manner.
You're right, John.
Like, I can see him, if somebody's got a problem, he's like, you know, all right.
You know what he does come across? Being able to sell ortho equipment in the surgery
room.
That's
what I'm thinking, too.
I could see him as a good salesman.
Dude,
I could see him as a hell of a good salesman.
Hopefully, whatever he does, just get the fuck off my payroll.
And
that's all I'm looking for.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I really appreciate that.
I think that goes more than anything that we've said here, is he's a solid dude.
And we have Vegas in 18 months.
We got to get him on a plane.
He doesn't like to fly?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know if we're going to Vegas, because I tell you what, like all this plane shit right
now.
Well,
hopefully by then they get it figured out.
Has
he ever flown before?
No. Because everywhere we went on vacation, he could drive. So
Hannah's the same way.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm getting on my dude on a plane. I may have to knock him out.
You know some people getting drugs.
100%, right? Yeah.
Put a bag on his head. Yeah.
All right, I got to pee.
Yeah, so do I. I got to pee really bad.
Jeff, I'm so glad you're back
Honestly,
here.
It's good to see you guys.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. I guess since I opened it.
Wrap her up,
party people. All right, honestly, for episode 147,
boom.
Correct. Brian Soup Campbell, Jarrett Delbrook, and Jub Delbrook, thank you for listening. Thanks for everybody's support. We appreciate the shit out of you. And until the next time, the Pine Room Studios.
Peace.
See you guys.